thank you for joining us for All Things Real Estate. Now here are your hosts, Brad Avergon and Gary Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Real Estate, coming to you live from my second floor in Brad's basement. We do it that way to keep expenses down. And also keeps us from going into the studio, which is pretty cramped, actually. Brad, how are you?
I'm well, Gary. How are you?
I'm great. We're recording this on April 9th, which I know the radio station hates us to mention, but that's when we're recording it. It's my son's birthday, so I'm proud of that. He hits a milestone birthday today. He won't want me telling anyone. So if you see him, tell him happy 40th. So, Brad, one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, by the way, you're with Fairway Still Independent Mortgage.
Still Independent Mortgage for Brad Avergon with Fairway Independent Mortgage. And Gary, who are you with?
I'm with Cassinetti Realty Group.
There you go. Love it.
So one of the things that I wanted to do a rant on, and those of you that follow me pretty regularly know, I write an article in the Community Advocate that then goes into being this show. And Brad reviews the article before it's published, et cetera. So it's not like he's seeing it for the first time. But the question that I have is, when's it time to sell a vacant house? And I want to give three specific examples. We're aware and have been asked to look at a ranch that is in a Metro West town that was the mother's house. And the mother has passed away, no longer needs it. Passed away a couple of years ago. And the home's been vacant since. What do you do with it? And in this particular case, the owner wants to sell it, wants to maximize the sale, but also at that point wants to do all kinds of renovations. At least it's my view that doing all those renovations is going to take it out of reach for many buyers. It's an ideal first-time buyer house. The other thing that I would share, and it's a personal share, is that it is going into my parents' house back in 1960. It is absolutely preserved. They've got the new tone radio that goes through the house, every room. That thing still works. You know, all these years later, I'm going to say you can't kill it. You can kill them, but phenomenal that the thing still works. We then go and we're asked to look at a woman that's got six homes, two, three families on one lawn out in Worcester. And we're going through the building. Actually, there were two buildings. We went through one. And the building we went through, it was fine. Only she was painting it. Now, when I say she's painting it, there's the picture of the 70-year-old lady going up every day, spending a couple of hours painting it. And what we're saying to her is, why are you doing that? And she's asking us what our color recommendations are. My color recommendation for a multifamily is you pick one color palette for the building and you get out of the way and let the painters do it. And we said, Sue loves to be the expert on paint colors. 95% of the time she uses Revere Pewter and Dove White, both Benjamin Moore colors. But they go together nicely, and they're, you know, it's common. It's a pleasant palette. It's starting to get a little out of date, but yeah, that's my opinion. But this woman has this building that if she spent a couple thousand dollars having it painted by painters, she could start to get income from it. Instead, every day she goes out and she goes up and she paints, you know, part of a wall in one of the bedrooms. And then the last one is a place that's on Golden Pond. It's a one bed, maybe two bed with one bath on a small lake. It was bought 2 years ago, but the intent of the owner was to use it to get away from his job. He works in a town. This was two towns over. It was his getaway place after work. And frankly, once he bought it, he's never returned. 2 years. And one of my observations is, as you look at these homes, you know, vacant homes often grow mold. They vacant homes don't get better. They deteriorate. And so this is a case with a guy who didn't winterize it, and there was a frozen pipe. You found all over the place. And so you have flooring that has buckled. And so you're going to do a repair there. So my experience is buildings don't fall into disrepair. They don't fall into repair, I should say. They fall into disrepair. So, Brad, I've been rambling here for a few minutes. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's the show. We're over now, Gary. No. I think in general, when you have a property that's sitting idle, it, as you said, it falls into disrepair. Homes were meant to be heated. They were meant to be monitored. You know, even when you have a second home, it makes a major difference from the insurance standpoint, whether you're actually, is that home being monitored either remotely? Or are you going down once a month? What's happening? Does it have alarms in there that alert you if there's water damage, if the heat goes off, things like that? So even the best of homes, if you don't winterize them or you don't monitor them, they're going to fall into disrepair. So I think the idea of having this asset that is not going to get better, it may go up in value just based on appreciation, but the offset is going to be, yeah, but what's it going to cost you to bring it back to to the point that you could sell it and for a good market value. I think, you know, you've talked about three very different types of property. The one in Golden Pond, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, mid-century happens to be in, you know. So there are people that might come into that, and a first-time home buyer might say, this is awesome. This is actually an approachable property from a price standpoint that I can afford, and I can use that new tone radio while I'm moving in. And at the same time, you know, update it over the next 5 or 10 years.
That one is the little ranch that could. And yeah, I believe that what you're laying out is absolutely what that guy should do. Sell it as is and let the buyer fix it up. The property that's on Golden Pond is, and I don't want to put words in a buyer's mouth, right? But it's kind of too far gone. It's not something you're going to be able to just go in, throw a little paint on. I mean, it's serious mold review mitigation. It's removing any asbestos that might be in there. It's repairing the flooring, making sure no one falls through the flooring.
I want to pause there because I want to draw a distinction between those two properties, both which may be approachable for first-time home buyers, but in very different ways. So the one on Golden, the little ranch that could, right? That is a good property for somebody who wants to get in, because an appraiser, a lender, is not going to necessarily flag that property as having issues. So say, yes, the heat works, the electricity works, the water works, we can move in, a buyer can do over time, they can do those improvements themselves if they're handy, or hire a contractor as their income and their assets permit. So that will go through underwriting. On the opposite scale is this property that will not pass underwriting grade. It will not. You can't walk in there and go, hey, I'm a handy guy. I'm a handy person. I should take that. I'm a handy person. I'll just fix this up on my own. That's not going to fly in the land of mortgages. So that property needs one of two things to happen. Either A, it goes to a contractor like you're talking about, who has the skill set, buys it oftentimes either through a commercial line of credit or cash. They buy it, they gut it, maybe they drop the house. Maybe they just take it right down and they build a new house and they sell it for big bucks. Because when a contractor comes in, they want to make markup. Or if a buyer wants to buy that, they need what's called a rehab loan, which is where they buy the property as it is, subject to completion for plans and specs in advance. So we need to get, they need to bring a contractor in. They need to figure out what they're going to be able to do to make it to meet current code, right? Current building code, make sure it's safe. So all of that stuff has to be brought into it. Septic, anything. So it can be expensive, but there are programs that allow people to do that. In both cases, those probably properties, I think, need to be sold.
Well, I agree with the being sold. One of the things I wanted to highlight on the rehab mortgage is the place has to appraise for the approved value. The approved value.
Right, right. Right.
So if you're buying a place for $300,000 and you're putting in $100,000, the appraisal has to come in, you know, around at or above $400,000.
That's correct. That is correct. And that's not always easy. You know, the challenge with a lot of rehab loans these days is the cost to bring the property up to today's building code standards. Is expensive. The cost of materials, the cost of labor, all of it. And so that has to be looked at and evaluated. And sometimes that can make a property challenging. That's why I think, you know, we were talking about a property is not going to get better. The sooner that person sells that property, the better off they are.
So, Brad, I'm going to cut you off there. I'm going to go off and pay some bills of our own, and then we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation.
Sounds like a plan, Gary. See you on the flip side.
Stay tuned. More All Things Real Estate coming right up.